Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Jeff Benjamin's here. Jeff's a new friend. Jeff is a managing partner of the Vitri family of restaurants in Philadelphia and New Jersey. He started out in the restaurant business as a busboy in a country club and never looked back. He just fell in love with the idea of making people happy, and he's risen to a very pretty darn important job in a pretty darn important chain of family-owned restaurants. And he's got a new book out called Front of the House: Restaurant Manners, Misbehaviors, and Secrets. Jeff Benjamin, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
It's good to have you here. Well, congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
So,
a lot of fun to write.
Yeah, they can be. I tell men that, having published my third one now and working on a couple more, I tell men that writing a book and getting it published is as close as we'll ever come to birthing a baby. So I don't know if you can relate to that or not, but most people can. So, all right, so tell us about now your restaurant is, you know, when you look up restaurants online and you're in Google or whoever is rating them as to whether, you know, what kind of a thing you should expect, they often use dollar signs, don't they?
Yeah, it depends.
And no, you know what I'm talking about. You know, if it's not very expensive, it's $1 sign. If it's a little more, two, three, four, so on and so forth. So if I'm looking at your website here, your dollar signs are going to be about four or five, right?
It depends on the Vetri, the flagship restaurant, is definitely not inexpensive. You know, I like to tell people that deliver value at every level. So even though the price fix is $155, we expect that you'll get $180 worth of value out of it. So
absolutely. No, it does help, though. You know, sometimes that's what you want. You don't want it. You got a customer, you're taking dinner. You don't want a $2 sign restaurant. So, but you guys have eight restaurants.
Yep.
How do they differ?
Oh, completely. We run the gamut. I've got the second of the same concept of pizzeria is opening in about 3-4 weeks, all the way up to the Vetri, which you mentioned earlier, the flagship.
Where is the flagship? Is that in Philly?
In Center City, yep.
Yeah, okay. And I'll have to remember
we've
that.
We've got a couple of casual spots. One's called the Osteria, which is a very casual, very large restaurant.
Right.
We've got a little Roman trattoria, so we could fit all needs.
Oh, but how about the pasta? Is it all homemade?
All homemade. Yep.
Good. All right. That's a must for me. Okay. So
we actually mill our own flour as well.
Wow. Now that's attention to detail there, folks. So the restaurant business, I tell small business owners who are thinking about going into the restaurant, and I used to have a consulting business, and people would come to me and want me to help them start a restaurant. And I would tell them that the hardest job in the world is being a small business owner, and the hardest small business job in the world is being a restaurant owner. What do you think?
You know, people tell me that all the time. And, you know, I think if you have a passion for just about anything, it becomes less difficult to do.
You gotta count your French fries by the fry. You gotta count your payroll by the quarter hour. I mean, that's right. Attention to detail that the average schmuck out there doesn't have the desire to do.
We also have to count our customers by the hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, if I don't sell you something at 7 o'clock, I can't sell it to you at 9.
Right.
I need to sell it to you at 7. That's the bigger issue.
Mm-hmm.
So filling seats at the appropriate time is the issue. I can always fill up on Saturday. I got to get you here on Mondays, Tuesdays.
And even though your restaurant organization may be geared up and hardwired and wound up like a perfectly timed Swiss watch to do exactly that, then those pesky customers get involved, don't they?
Yeah, pesky customers.
Are you there, Jeff? I think we may have. Okay, again. We lost your connection. Go ahead.
The customers, but also Mother Nature.
yeah. The rain and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So what in your book you say the customer is always right until they're not. Tell us what you mean by
that. Exactly. So years ago, a professor of mine started a lecture by saying the customer is always right, and then he paused for a moment. He said, "Is not a true statement."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "You need to remember the customer is always the customer. So even when they're not right, you still need to treat them as though they are."
Mm-hmm.
And by that, he doesn't mean be condescending. Don't patronize them. People can tell when they're being patronized.
Right. Right.
But you need to say to them, "All right. In this guy's eyes, in his perception, he's correct. What can we do to make both of us happy so I'm not bending on my integrity and I'm not bending on my quality and my principles, but I'm still delivering a promise mm-hmm. to service this customer?" The customer was completely wrong, but how did we handle it so that both the customer and I felt like we were satisfied?
So maybe another way of saying it is the customer isn't always right, but they're always should expect professionalism.
Oh, absolutely.
Back from you.
Absolutely. We're still here to serve you. We're not servants, but we're servers.
Yeah. That's a good way to say it. So, all right, here's a question a lot of people are going to want to, I think, would like to know, and maybe they hadn't even thought to ask. Have you seen locations where a restaurant goes in and fails, and then every restaurant that goes in there after that always fails, and yet a block and a half away, one's been there for 25 years? Why is it,
all the time?
Have you ever seen it where a certain piece of real estate is just cursed? What causes that?
Yeah, I'd like to just think it was a cursed piece of real estate, but reality sets in. I think location does matter, but like you said, a block away it seems to be working. And what could be happening is that restaurant a block away is pretty much capturing everybody that wants to eat there. But the other thing that happens is, you've got a location that was cursed. People were used to not going to that place because it was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever restaurant went in there, and then they got it in their head that going into that space was going to that same restaurant.
Have you ever seen a place recover a location? I've never seen one recover and wind up with a successful restaurant there before. It's amazing how that works. Hey, hold on to that thought.
Because of that.
The book is called Front of the House by Jeff Benjamin. He and I will be right back. We're going to get down into more of his philosophy on taking care of the customer, loving them up, like you and I should be doing. 20 after. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.